pure of heart. And I love characters like that. I love portraying them. I like projecting them. I think we ought to have more heroes that we can look at and they're heroic, maybe simply only because they have a pure heart and they wish to use that for the betterment of the world, you know?
Welcome to another episode of Sitting Around Talking Movies. Neil Rosen here along with Bill Bregoli.
Who is that we just heard?
And Bill McCuddy.
Yeah.
And that was Zachary Levi talking about his new movie Shazam, not a Marvel comic book, a movie, part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, part of the DC stable of comic book heroes. And DC hasn't really fared so well, have they, Bill Bregoli? And I mean, they had Wonder Woman, but they had a lot of misfires.
They did pretty well with Aquaman, though.
Well, that's true. So how'd they do with this one?
This one's pretty good.
He used to be Captain Marvel.
That's right. And this was in the early days, and they let that title kind of languish, and Marvel stole it from him.
Isn't that funny?
Like, so now he's called Shazam.
What Neil was just saying about DC being like the underdog and the shit on all the time, like that's a perfect example. I mean, like, God, I mean, they had Captain Marvel, and now it's Shazam, and they've turned it into Big.
Yeah, that's right. It's Big with a cape.
Yeah, and it's right. So he's a kid.
He's a 14-year-old boy.
It's
named
the Tom
Billy
Hanks
Batson
thing, right? And he's one of those machines like in Big where he makes a wish?
No, but there is Jaimin Hunsu in what was probably a Morgan Freeman role.
Jaimin Hunsu.
Okay.
You can say let's call the whole thing off.
That's right. And there is a piano that you step on, just like in Big.
Oh, my
what?
God.
But that's an homage, right?
That's a little homage. Yeah, okay. They don't do a whole dance number either. It's just like, okay, blink, blink, blink.
So tell us the basic plot of this. I mean, he's a kid.
Actually, it's a very complicated plot, and it's a little too complicated.
Neil will try to follow it.
And the movie is kind of slow to begin with because you've got the origin story of the bad guy in the movie is actually opens the movie. Then we cut to little Billy Batson. He's with his mom. They're at a carnival, and she's throwing darts to win him a big prize. She doesn't win him a big prize. She gives him this little globe that's basically a compass. And then he loses his mom. Cut to years later, and he's now living in a series of foster homes in Philadelphia and getting thrown out of each one, looking for his mom, and ends up at this one foster home where he meets some bunch of racially mixed kids, like the old Coca-Cola ads. And he has this weird thing happen to him where all of a sudden he ends up with Jaimin Hunsu. And he says, grab my shaft. And he's got this.
Yikes.
And that's what the boy, jeez, that's pretty much the boy's reaction.
That's what happened to Michael Jackson. So
he's like, ew.
So that probably bumped it to a PG rating from a G rated movie.
There's one swear in it that, and something bad happens to the person who swears in the very beginning of the movie. And I think that's it.
But it is PG-13, right?
Yeah, but it is PG-13. And he grabs the shaft and he expects weird stuff to happen. And all of a sudden he turns into a superhero. But
the guy who's dating Mrs. Maisel.
Yeah, that's right. He turns into Zachary Levi, but with the intelligence and attitude of a 14-year-old boy.
Zachary Levi is the guy in Mrs. Maisel, not the husband, but the guy that drove her back.
Right, I'm saying dated.
No, I'm asking, right, the one drove her back from
say
the
it on microphone.
So she, the mountains so she could get to her B. Altman's job at the makeup counter,
right?
Who she dumps at the end.
And he
of
had
the,
a he had
she dumps
a
him at the end.
Calm
of the
down,
episode,
calm right? down. Let's not make any spoilers. He had a NBC sitcom for a couple of years too.
What was that called?
He wore a tuxedo, right? And he was like a kid, like a young secret agent, something. I can't remember.
Yeah,
was, had
there
amazing
are some other
in it or
note
something.
In this too, but they're kids. One of the kids from It is really good in it. His name is Jack Dylan, and he's the best friend of Billy Batson, who's played by Asher Angel, and he's in a lot of Disney shows.
So were the kids like Stranger Things?
Yeah, kind of.
Like
kind of like prepubescent. I can't say
pubescent, is that
that's
the word?
That's the word.
It's been so long for you, Bill.
So,
that's right.
So would you say this is predominantly a comedy action film?
Comedy action.
comedy, with the emphasis on more comedy than action.
More, but not Deadpool. Not as funny and snarky as Deadpool.
Like
Deadpool.
Okay, it's is it like R-rated. Ant-Man, which I thought was very funny?
It's kind of in the Ant-Man mold.
Not really?
You liked Ant-Man? Because you've never said that before on the podcast.
No, but I'm saying not the Wasp, the second one. You know, the first one was funny.
Yeah, this one's funny. And it's funny, and there's some heartwarming moments. And there's an ending that goes on forever.
So now, who's this bad guy we meet early on? Is that an actor of any repute?
Mark Strong.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And at one point, he has this weird eyeball that's green. It's really weird. But
he's been a bad guy in a lot of stuff. He was the brother of, Borat.
Ah.
In that horrible Borat movie that was where they were both secret agents.
Right.
Like a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Mark Strong's funny.
Yeah.
And he wasn't.
Was that a Borat movie?
Wasn't he in Spy?
Was that a Borat movie or was that.
It wasn't Borat. It was.
Sacha Baron Cohen.
Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah. Where he was. Right.
He was a spy. And yeah. A
I know.
And it was his brother. Mark Strong was his brother.
Yeah.
And he had to.
He's good.
But
he's the bad guy in it. He doesn't get to be funny.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's pretty much it.
So, your thumbs. I'm sorry. We're not allowed to say thumbs up.
I recommend it. It's a fun night out. There are two credit scenes, one at the very, very end and one in the middle of the credits. And one of them is just stupid. And the other one is a little homage to another DC Comics thing that I don't want to spoil for anyone.
Any adult humor in there
that would
go over kids, you know, like an old Warner Brothers cartoon kind of thing?
No, not quite like that.
Definitely a franchise?
But they don't leave it open for a sequel. It's kind of like it could just be by itself.
Yeah, if this thing makes a lot of money, which is my next question.
Yeah, that would probably be more.
So do you think it's going to be a major hit, big hit?
I'm thinking $55 million. At least that's what I read. It's tracking well. It did $5 million in previews the other night.
Well, you know, if it's as good as you're saying, you can't discount word of mouth, and if people really like the film, then you know it would.
Yeah, it's going to do well.
Unlike Captain Marvel, the Brie Larson Captain Marvel, which had bad word of mouth, and I think it probably could have done maybe Wonder Woman numbers if it was a better movie, you know. But it's not, you know.
Right.
So
this will do fine, and it hasn't got a lot of competition, family film wise.
Okay, without a kid. You know, like as an adult, not bringing a kid, would you recommend the movie?
Yeah, there was an adult sitting next to me on my left side who was pumping his hands up in the air at certain scenes and banging his feet and having he was like an adult-sized kid.
Well, he just sounds really like a nut.
It. Was that the director?
I don't know who it was, but he was having a ball. People really liked it.
Well, Bill McCuddy, next time you go to a movie, you can't do that.
Stop.
So we'll play the game we always play. Has Bill Bregoli convinced Bill McCuddy and myself to see it, and we haven't seen it? I say I'm going to see it, but I'll probably wait to see it on, on demand or something instead of.
I don't know why, but Mrs. McCuddy has been watching the trailers for this and has said she wants to see it from day one.
Yeah.
And I think she thinks it's snarkier. I think she thinks it's Deadpoolish, but it doesn't matter. If she goes, I got to go. It's the law. So I will go see it with her.
I understand that. Yeah. All right, let's move on and take a look at. What's next up? Bill McCuddy. You saw another movie. You saw Pet Sematary.
That's right.
Tell us about Pet Sematary.
Well, it's got another actor who works a lot, Jason Clarke, and Amy Semetz.
He was Ted Kennedy.
That's right.
Yeah, right. I was gonna say you could just. He's one of those guys that you wouldn't know like him by name, but everybody would see it. Like my wife would go, oh God, this guy's been in a million things.
Yeah, he's an Australian actor, actually. And John Lithgow's in it. And a young woman named Jette Lawrence. I don't know if she's related to the other famous Lawrence girl, but she's kind of a standout in it. It's rated R, and it's the Stephen King novel that was last made in 1989 as a movie, but they do some gender switching in this. There's somebody who ends up dead who was a male in the first movie is a female in this movie. There's some switches around there. A lot of good jump scares. I mean, you know the story. The family moves from Boston to Maine. And actually, there's a little Easter egg in it for
I hear there are a bunch of little Easter eggs.
Yeah, there's an Easter egg in it. At one point, when they're driving to Maine, there's a sign that says Derry, 20 miles, and that's the town of Maine where it took place.
Oh, yeah.
So,
this is getting great reviews. And
yeah,
so
and
you like it.
It's well
I would
done.
Go
it's 90
see
minutes
it.
Long. Yeah, Lithgow does a nice job as being the creepy old neighbor who sometimes heartwarming.
Well, this is the other family member that loves this genre, and that's my daughter Lily, now 18, but still.
I think she's going to like
likes...
the Chate Lawrence girl.
Yeah,
she
Lily
gets a lot to do in it.
Lily loves this kind of stuff.
Talking to the mic.
Lily loves this kind of stuff. You took her to Greta. She just likes this kind of scary kind of stuff.
Yeah,
your daughter.
The little girl gets to really shine in this, so she'll like it.
And would you say that?
Is it funny to adults?
Are you scary?
And?
I'm watching
is
the. I'm watching the commercial. No, I'm watching. Does it have a Warner Brothers cartoon sensibility? No. I want to know if I'm watching the commercial on TV, and they're look. You can get quote ads from anybody. We could. That's a whole other discussion. We could have on a whole show about publicists calling us up and asking for quotes. But it says, the scariest time, you know, all these quotes, I was so scared. Were you scared at all, or is it just kind of like, you know, I mean, do you even get scared of the movies anymore?
There are some realistic moments in this where kids almost get hit by trucks that were really scary.
Mm. But you weren't scared by, like, the
flashback to your
anything.
Own childhood?
The pets, the cat was creepy. That was one creepy cat.
Okay.
There's a creepy cat, there are creepy animals, and the little girl's creepy at some points, and... there's actually a backstory that you see in flashbacks from Amy Semmes's character where she had a sister who was all twisted up and eventually died, and that's kind of creepy. So
okay,
creepiness.
Original versus this one. You got to pick one to see.
I don't even remember the original, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't either, really. I mean, Jason Clarke has been talking about how iconic this character, Luis Creed, or what's his name in that? Yeah. He's been saying that this is all of his friends back home can't believe he's playing this icon, like making it sound like it's yet another version of A Star Is Born. And I'll go see it. As I said, 90 minutes, tight, good.
Yeah.
I'll probably go see it in the theaters.
Not me. Not my genre.
All right. Well,
but again, this comes on Netflix. Got nothing to do one evening. I'm like, why not?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Well, speaking of that, a creepy cool movie that's also opening in theaters and on demand this week that our colleague David Fear, who I had lunch with from Rolling Stone today, it was very high on. And I've seen the trailers for this thing, and I didn't know that it was opening this weekend. It's called just The Wind, and it's a Western, kind of a creepy plains out in the middle of nowhere. One couple lives on 1,000 acres, and then another couple moves in like 2 or 4 or 5 ranches away, and there may or may not be something spooky going on in the house, very much like Babadook, and the women start to go a little nuts. The men are useless, according to Fear, and he says it's really, really, really good. Hmm. 4 stars for him out of 4.
You didn't see it.
I have not seen
it.
So you're
just going
on our
Netflix? Colleague David Fear's record.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to know where
but it's
had,
on demand.
I'd like to know where you had lunch with David Fear.
At the Friars Club, the fabulous Friars Club.
Oh, the fabulous Friars. Okay, you know what they say. You know the average age of the Friars Club?
Dead.
That's correct.
Not anymore. We inducted Carol Alt the other night. She's under...
under 60?
She's way under 60.
Well, let's talk about... CBS All Access for a minute. Okay, so they didn't hook me in when they... I'm a big Star Trek fan, as everybody knows, and they...
Talked about it on this podcast in a shameless effort to get yourself some free CBS access, and it didn't happen.
So the CBS All Access, their first original series, I believe, or the one that was... They're going to try to get people to sign up for the service. Listen, there's just so much money I have, and there's just so many services I can subscribe to. I mean, you've got Hulu and Netflix and, you know, Amazon Prime and YouTube. I mean, it's like enough already.
Baba Booey on Howard Stern says, I'm $10 to death.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And it's $10
Apple.
A month.
Spotify.
Yeah, so anyway, so I didn't go for the Star Trek thing. And but now they got Twilight Zone. They come out with Twilight Zone. What a great series. So
I got it for free if you want to use my password. They sent it to me.
Well, they sent me the first 4 episodes.
No, I mean the All Access thing.
Oh, okay. Well, I watched the first three out of the four episodes that they sent to the press.
I don't have.
Let's talk about the first one that Bill McCuddy saw, and then I'll talk about the other two. And the first one is called Is it called The Comic or The Comedian?
The Comedian.
The Comedian. And it stars Kamal.
You know what comedians do? They speak directly into the microphone.
It's called, it stars Camille Najani from,
yeah, I think that's correct.
From the movie that he did that Judd produced, that Judd Apatow produced, where his wife, the real one, where his wife, it's
The
about,
Big Hurt. Oh, the big Hurt or The Big Sick.
The Big Sick. The Big Sick.
Okay. So, I can't, okay, so the Rod Serling replacement is
Jordan Peele.
Is Jordan Peele, who just did Us and did the very popular movie
Get Out.
Get Out, right. And I think he's very good in the role. I mean, he's only in there for like a minute and a half, but I think he's good. But here's my take on the well, let's talk about The Comedian first. The Comedian, there's Kamal Najani plays this comedian who's terrible. I mean, he goes on stage and he absolutely bombs. He's awful. And
well, he's trying to be political, or he's trying to be relevant.
Right,
that's his
whole thing. About the Second Amendment and how gun control. There's no funny material in there. He might as well be on like Fox News or MSNBC or something.
Or this podcast some weeks. But he plays to they don't fake it. He's getting no laughs.
In, and then he runs into Tracy Morgan at the bar of the comedy club, and he says, "I'm not getting anywhere." And Tracy Morgan goes. And he goes, "You got it all." He goes to Kamal goes to Tracy Morgan, "You've got it all." He goes, "Oh, you think I've got it all?" He goes, "You want it all? You got to reveal something personal about yourself." And how much further do I go with this, Bill, without spoilers?
Well, I since I'm going to recommend it, if we're going to trash it, I would not want to give too much away.
I think we can give a little more away.
I'm going to recommend.
It's
well,
an hour. I mean,
all I'm going to say, if you'll let me jump in here, is he does reveal some truths, and they have repercussions, and like dropping a stone into a pond, the ripples have some, I think, kind of clever. Some things I will say you see coming and some you don't. And one thing you didn't mention is that the original series were all 22 to 28 minutes, and this is 55 to each of these are like
that's
an hour.
That's not true.
And I think,
and
oh, there was a year where the Twilight Zone was an hour long.
I watched three episodes. The third episode was not an hour episode.
Oh, okay, because some of the people have been complaining
that it was 36 minutes, and when you get rid of the credits, it was like about maybe 32.
Well, let me
and
just say
was,
that
and by
this
the way,
idea
it was a season of Twilight Zone, the original Twilight
yes,
Zone.
Yes, I said that a second
yes,
ago.
That was an hour.
Okay, calm down. Coming off the ledge. So what I'm telling you is that The Comedian is a really good example of an idea that could have been done in half an hour. It didn't need to be dragged out to the hour.
You could have
that said, I liked what it did. It takes a couple of cool turns, and then it takes two really interesting turns at the very end that I went, whoa, Twilight Zone is back. So, and mic drop.
Okay.
So maybe I was a little more
I was
enthused.
Enthralled with the comedy club premise because
aren't you always?
yes, that's true. And I
have
like
you ever seen Funny
setting.
People?
So, but the second episode, which revolves around, and I'm going to address your. I don't agree with some of what you said, but let me talk about the other two episodes and then get back to addressing.
Oh, please! Anything that makes this longer.
The second episode is there is an African American woman who's taking her son to this all black college. I don't remember the name. I think it's called Tennyson in the show, but I'm not particularly mm-hmm. positive of that. And they keep getting stopped. They get stopped by this really racist white cop who wants to see the registration, the license, the ownership to the car, the pink slip. I mean, all these things. Get out of get out of the car. I mean, it's kind of like sort of like the moment in The Hate U Give, the movie The Hate U Give, where it's like Black Lives Matter and they're harassing these people, and she's got this old video camcorder thing from like 20 years ago that she likes filming stuff on because it's kind of kitschy. And it was given to her by her father, and she just likes having it around. And after the cop is like, kind of really harassing her son, and he says, "Are you recording this? Give me that camera." And she presses the rewind button by mistake, and everything goes backwards to before the encounter with the cop. And wherever they go,
in other words, real life. She can take this.
She can rewind real life to a point where before the incident happened.
Got it.
So she can go back to any point in the that's on the videotape. And throughout this
episode. Can we do that with this conversation?
Throughout this episode, this racist, big, fat, white cop, no matter what they do, going on side roads, no matter what it is, he stops, finds them, and harasses the shit out of them. And she just keeps rewinding. And it keeps getting worse. Each subsequent appearance by this white cop, I mean, the first time he kind of shoves the kid around, and then it just gets even more outrageous what this guy does to these people, but she keeps rewinding it. I'm going to stop there in terms of spoilers.
Does the kid ever get to college?
I'm not going to tell you that. And the third episode is, which I saw last night, is the 36-minute episode, and it's with Adam Scott, who you remember from Step Brothers and many other films. And he's on a plane, which was kind of reminded me of this classic Twilight Zone episode where William Shatner was on a plane, and they did that one, I think, was it with John Lithgow?
John Lithgow for the movie.
In the movie.
Right.
But it's not somebody on the wing of the plane. He sits down, and in front of the seat, instead of the magazine that they usually give you on the plane, there's a little MP3 player with headphones, and he puts headphones on, and it says, "The tragedy of flight 1015." That is the flight number. And the podcast starts telling about how this plane disappeared and nobody found the people on the plane.
Nobody listens to podcasts, Neil.
And how and the podcast is naming everything that's happening like around him.
That sounds cool.
As it's happening. He says, you know, at 9:07, a bird is going to go into the engine and it's going to kind of like short out the electricity for a second. And it like happens. And he has to try and find out why the plane goes down mysteriously and save everybody's life. And the more he's trying to do that, because listening, taking verbal instructions from the podcast, find the air marshal, and he's going around accusing people like, "Are you the air marshal?" You know, they think he's out of his mind. It's short. It's good. And now I'm going to get you my review of these. Of the whole Twilight Zone.
First, please.
All three episodes that I've seen.
Do we have a drum roll? We don't have a drum roll, do we?
No.
Okay.
And by the way, I love Jordan Peele's appearance, the way Rod Serling used to show up in the thing. On the plane, he's on the movie, on the screen that they show.
Well, that's clever. I mean, there was no effort to do that. Rod Serling just opened and closed to them.
No, he would pop up in weird. Well, there was not that thing, but he would pop up in weird places. It was kind of. But nonetheless, he would always come to the scene. Anyway. All three episodes, amazingly tension-filled. I mean, I was not bored. Yes, you could have trimmed the comedian episode down a little bit, but I didn't mind the length. It was fine. And all three episodes, I was really just like, where is this going? And I was really super tense. My problem with it, and it's a minor problem because I still highly recommend the series, is I don't agree with you, Bill McCuddy. I think the twists, every Twilight Zone episode has a twist at the end. I don't think the twists... I think they're a little forced, and I don't think that they're anywhere near the twists of the original series. But I will say that aside...
It's safe to say you're looking for that now because it's the reboot of the Twilight
Zone. Well, they all
have
twists. All three episodes
have
twists.
No, but I mean...
They make an effort to
What I mean is the expectation for audiences is that this is the new Twilight Zone, and it's going to have the Law & Order twist you never saw coming or whatever. And so,
kind of like an M. Night Shyamalan movie,
you're looking
Where's
for
the
it,
twist?
Maybe
that,
a little more.
That, if you look at The Sixth Sense, that was an amazing twist. Yeah. If you check out a couple of Twilight Zone episodes, like the one To Serve Mankind, there's or the Willoughby episode, or the episode with Burgess Meredith with the nuclear holocaust with the glasses,
right.
They're great twists. I don't think these twists are so great. And you were saying you were going
twists come better. In a shorter period of time. Well, wait 56 minutes like you do in a comedian.
The Adam Scott one was short.
36 is still not 28. It's longer than it needs to
be. Well, they go out of their way to do a
perhaps.
Twist. And I don't think, as Chubby Checker said, twist again like they did last summer or something. This is not the best twist.
Wow.
But I highly recommend
not
it.
The best analogy.
No, it's a very terrible analogy. After I said
Come
it.
Come on, Neil. We kid because we love.
I really like the show. And I highly recommend it.
If you agree with us, tweet to us.
Is it worth $10 a month on CBS All Access? Well, maybe spend $10 and watch all 10 episodes and, after
they
all go up.
I get it for free, and I think I would actually pay the $10. Mm.
All right. Well, were you a Twilight Zone fan?
No.
Totally kidding.
I was telling Bill before we
getting madder.
So you have no interest in this?
No.
Okay. Well, there you go. You'll watch more, right, Bill McCuddy?
I like the Adam Scott one you're describing. Yeah. So yeah, sure.
Okay. Moving on, there's a movie that you wanted to talk about, Bill, called Master Z.
Well, this is the Master Z, the Ip Man or IP Man legacy. I guess it's part of a series that I'm unaware of, and now everyone's aghast that I don't know about it. But the point is, it's a legendary action director, Yuen Woo Ping.
He's the best.
It's a great cast. Michelle Yeoh is in this thing, Tony Jaa and Max Zhang, and... It's just a really good chop sake. The story is kind of ordinary, but some of the choreographed moves are spectacular. It's a little long, but I have to recommend it because if you like the Bruce Lee stuff, if you like anything from that genre, this is as good as it gets. Including Michelle Yeoh, who was a trained ballet dancer, not in the film, but in real life. And so everything she's ever done, and I didn't realize this, from the James Bond movie to Crouching Tiger, has all been based on dance movements and not on real kung foolery. Hmm. So she's great in it. And I'm going to talk to her this weekend, and I'll tell you more about what she liked and didn't like about it. And then there's another movie that's opening this week with Olivia Wilde. And basically, it's called A Vigilante, and basically, it's The Equalizer if a woman was helping other women in distress. Mm. So she goes and finds battered women or abused women, and she kind of fucks over.
Shows up at Joe Biden rallies?
nobody tries to kiss these women or touch them inappropriately. It's a little more serious than that. But... Olivia Wilde, maybe the best thing she's ever done.
Really?
So if you're a fan, I've always been a fan of her comedy. She's drop dead gorgeous. She's married to Jason Sudeikis, who's I'm a big fan of. But this thing is maybe a put her on the map kind of movie. The way,
and it's on Netflix.
I don't know if it's on Netflix. It's on demand. So it's on, I don't know exactly what platforms it's on, but it's out this weekend. Hmm. And if you like. Monster, that where Charlize Theron was like uglied up and tough and showed that she could really act. This is what is happening here for Olivia Wilde in a way you've never seen her.
Have you guys seen the trailer?
So wait, does anybody want to see this movie now that I've
Maybe.
Described it?
To see Olivia Wilde ugly. With you.
I'm not interested in the
there
in
are
the
jokes
Ma-
in
Master
it that
Z.
Will...
I'm not interested in that one, but. A Vigilante, yeah. If it's on Netflix, I would watch it. You have Pete
It's Lane. Moody and slow and cool.
I
so
like that. Yes,
I will warn you that.
You sold me on the second one,
Maybe.
Not the first one.
I'm not
one.
Sure. You said Olivia Wilde uglied up.
Yeah, I knew I had lost you there.
Yeah.
Olivia Wilde looked the best she's ever looked on House. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, fine.
All right. Whatever that's
Good
worth.
To know.
But she's still
very little.
Very beautiful woman. Anyway, have any of you guys seen the new Quentin Tarantino trailer for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood about the Sharon Tate?
Sure, murders? That's been
yeah.
out a couple of weeks.
Speaking about Bruce Lee, which you were talking about, they've got a guy in that trailer who's doing a Bruce Lee imitation that's incredible. I mean, it's even like the comments on YouTube on the trailer, people just keep talking about how great this Bruce Lee imitator is. He looks like Bruce Lee. He's got those moves down. Very well done.
Well, have you been reading some of the theories? That's one of mine too. That did we talk about this a couple of weeks ago? Because
no.
I've talked about it on some other shows. Did so. The theory that I've been floating around is that you know Quentin Tarantino plays fast and loose with the facts. And,
oh, you mean
know,
like the way
Hitler didn't really die the way he does in Inglourious Basterds?
The way Hitler was burned up in a movie theater in
right.
Inglourious Basterds
yeah.
with every other Nazi, Goebbels and Goering.
Yeah. So the theory that I've been putting out there is that Sharon Tate is going to live in this movie.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I'm actually not alone in this. So I've noticed when I've been searching around that people are thinking, and they also think Bruce Lee saves her life.
Well, you know...
So that's one. I don't know about the Bruce Lee part, but I know that he would not cast some of the people in this film that would otherwise die very quickly unless he was had rewritten it in some way.
Well, you could have Sharon Tate die at the end of the movie too, Bill. I mean, you don't have to.
Yeah, but it's really about. I think that sets it off. I think that or that incident. I don't know where it comes in the film, but
the trailer is portraying it's Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio, and one of them is a movie star, and the other one is a stuntman.
Right.
You know, I don't know.
DiCaprio's the star, and yeah. Brad Pitt is his like.
I don't know. I'm looking forward to it, you know, but I'm a big Quentin Tarantino fan, so.
This is his last film, right? The 10th is supposed to be the end.
Oh, really?
No.
Is this his 9th or 10th? Oh, no, it's his last film. That's what he's saying.
Well, that's.
I mean, Soderbergh said it. They've all said it. Yeah. But, like, he said, I'm going to make 10 films and I'm done.
Well, isn't that what Steven Soderbergh said? I'm done. I'm retiring.
Oh, yeah, where did I hear that? Oh, that's right. I said it 8 seconds
and then,
before you just
like
repeated.
A year later, he started making films on iPhones and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Quentin Tarantino's done, but he's been very vocal about this. Is he's doing 10 movies and that's it. He's retiring.
He's going to do what then?
I don't know.
Yes, I don't think. But yeah. he acts, but I don't
Not
think that's
really.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was riveting in Four Rooms.
Yeah. Yeah. Which was one of those stories.
That's a Twilight Zone.
No, that was an Alfred Hitchcock. It was with Peter
but
Lorre.
But I mean
Peter Lorre and Spirit. Steve McQueen, they redid that episode where Peter Lorre was a gambler and Steve McQueen goes, that's a very interesting, I won't do it with the imitation, terrible Peter Lorre imitation. It's a very interesting lighter you
that's
have there.
It's a very interesting lighter you have.
Right, and he bets Steve McQueen that if he could light it 10 times in a row, that it'll win like $1 million. It'll give him $1 million. And if he can't light the lighter 10 times in a row, he's going to chop off one of his fingers.
I have to cut off one of your fingers.
And he straps his whole arm down to the table. He's standing there with like a, what do you call those things? It's not an axe. It's a
hatchet.
A hatchet. Thank you. It's a hatchet. And and at the last second, the cops bust in and he lights it 9 times in a row. And just as he's about to go for the 10th time, the cops bust in. Alfred Hitchcock also had great twists. It was, they go, this man is crazy. He doesn't have a 10 cents to his name. He's nuts. He's done this to all these people. And Steve McQueen's like sweating. He's just like, the sweat just pouring off him. And they carry Peter Lorre out. And then Steve McQueen goes to get a cigarette and he goes to light a cigarette. And the lighter, of course, does not work. So,
The one in Four Rooms doesn't quite end that way.
Well, I don't remember the ending in Four Rooms, but the Hitchcock one, it's one of those episodes. There's two episodes in Hitchcock that everybody remembers. It's that one. And the one where the woman murders her wife with a frozen leg of lamb and then eats the
woman. No, the man murders the wife.
But they eat the evidence.
Right,
the evidence.
Then the cop comes over and she serves him the leg
right,
of lamb.
Right, they eat the evidence. But I've been watching. There's a television network that shows Twilight, the old Twilight Zones and the old Alfred Hitchcocks, like 1 o'clock
well,
in the morning.
Well, Sci-Fi has Twilight Zone, but you're talking about Antenna TV, I think. Or MeTV.
I think it's MeTV.
There's two of them.
But I'm watching these things, and some of the actors that crop up in this when they were like nobody, and you're just looking at them going like, this was like the opportunity of a lifetime for this person, you know? Like they probably had no other credit to their name, and they got to do an Alfred Hitchcock episode, you
right.
know?
Well, but like, okay, Steve McQueen was a young nobody when he did that, but Peter Lorre was an established. They got established people, too. A lot of British actors because Hitchcock had done so many films abroad before he came to this country.
I was watching an Alfred Hitchcock one the other night that was just great. I don't know if I'd ever seen it before. It was like takes place in the Midwest in some like small, you know, backwater town, and some guy dies and the guy he all of a sudden miraculously comes back to life and everybody thinks that he's a demon. Because he came back to life, and everybody's shunning him in the town. Even his fiance doesn't want anything to do with him. And it's not supernatural. It's just very, very interesting. You know,
right? Joseph Cotton was in a famous one where he drives a car off the road, and he's not dead, but everybody thinks he is because he's in a crash, and his brain is alive, and it's basically just him as a voiceover for the whole thing, going, "No, don't bury me, don't do that." So they got big stars that were established because it was Hitchcock.
Yeah, and they've remade a lot of these like Hitchcock things. There was one with Sharon Stone that they remade where she's in prison and she makes friends with one of the people who works in the jail and when they take out the coffins of the dead people, she hides in one of the coffins, which is terrific. And she just hates this guy, but she's like, this guy's such an idiot, blah, blah, blah. And they bury her under the ground, and the guy's going to come out, like, in the middle of the night and, you know, dig her up. And he dies of a heart attack. So she's buried underground, and she dies underground. I mean, there was just a lot of these.
We could go on and on.
We could go on and on. Yes. But what do we do here every week, Bill McCuddy?
We go on and on.
We go on and on and on and on and on.
We watch the bad streaming movies and television shows, so you don't have
That's true. Bill Bregoli, what's opening up next week, my friend?
Hellboy.
Hellboy.
But not with Ron Perlman.
No, I guess not.
He's
and,
gone.
Was it Little?
Little, no, yeah.
Hellboy and Little.
Which is basically Big with a black cast.
In any event,
follow me at Bill McCuddy on Twitter.
Follow me at Neil Rosen Apples on Twitter. Follow Bill Bregoli on Facebook. You can find him on Facebook.
That's it.
It's the secret.
Hey, I don't want to name any names, but like a lot of you have been engaging us on Twitter, and we really appreciate it. So thank you.
Yeah, some guy, I'm sorry, I don't recall your name. I could look it up, but you really complimented us on our last podcast.
We have some guy in Russia who with 1.5 million followers, so I just want him to retweet one thing. And
that'd be great.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
If you're listening, Ski, do it, Ski. Thanks, Ski.
Thanks you, and thank you for sitting around talking movies, and we'll sit around talking movies again with you next week.